Enabling grace, equipping power. This is Pentecost Sunday, sometimes referred to as the birthday of the church. It is a time when it is remembered that the Lord blessed his people with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to equip them for the work that they had been called to engage in together in proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. It's a time, you see, of confirmation that the church is alive and well. And that's the way I like to look at Pentecost myself. Not just some celebration of the past, though indeed we are grateful for the things that the Lord has done in providing for the needs and blessing of his people. But that it reminds us to stop and look around at ourselves and maybe do a little assessment of the vitality of the faith we profess. Not in a way of judgment, but in a way of encouragement, that we may more and more strive to be what the Lord intends us to be, and that we may grow in our trust in the Lord's provision for us. The church alive and well. Well, I'm not going to try and do some analysis of the state of the church in the world today. That brings in a whole variety of reports, some of them glowing and wonderful and others not so wondrous. But let us start here with ourselves, just as a time to reflect together and gather our thoughts and form our prayers as we strive to be a people who name the name of Christ and who profess to aspire to live in faithfulness to him. And it's a good time for us then to look around at ourselves and our own endeavors and to take new heart and find new strength in his Spirit to be what in fact we have actually been called to be. I think of it in a way as the comparison to our human mortal body, you know. It's one thing to be alive. It's a better thing to be alive and well. And that alive and well isn't just a matter of how we're doing physically at that moment, but how we're doing in responding and engaging in the life that the Lord has given to us. I mean, it's not so hard for us, I suppose, to establish that we're alive. Perhaps we might be able to pull out a birth certificate. Or by just our very presence, say, look, I'm here. And I suppose that each of us has some credentials we could produce to indicate that we are progressing through life. Well, ordinary things, you know. High school report card. Some sort of job credential. Driver's license. Things that kind of indicate that we've progressed a little ways in life. But when it comes to doing this spiritually, we have two factors that are crucial. The first is, of course, that we are people of grace. By that I mean that we are people who together profess that our hope before God rests on what God has done for us himself in the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ. And we identify ourselves with the Son, our Lord. And we profess his name. And we declare our intention to be his people. Now, we've been looking at the life of the disciples in those days and weeks immediately after the resurrection, and noting the struggles through which they had to go to affirm their faith in the light of the events of the crucifixion, and to affirm their confidence in the testimony to the resurrection. And so it was a time that they were affirming God's grace in Jesus Christ. And that, of course, becomes the first step. Gradually, as we read that gospel account, you see, we see the number of followers of Jesus who now know that the Lord who was crucified is alive. And they begin to band together. And they begin to ponder together how on earth they're going to carry out the commission that he has given to them as witnesses to take this story to the whole world. And they think about it and they consider it and they no doubt talked about it, as we also talk about such things. And so the first, if you will, aspect of the church being alive and well is that we're alive. And I don't mean just physically. Isn't it the fact that the scriptures speak of our coming to faith as a new birth? That we are now alive in Christ. Not just physical mortal bodies walking around the globe, but people who profess the name of Jesus Christ and have experienced his grace and rejoice to call him Lord. We're alive. Now, that first generation of believers struggled with something else, which we struggle with too. You see, they looked at that commission that had been given to them by the Lord and they said, how are we going to do this? How are we, a mere handful of people, going to start the process even of taking this good news into the whole world? They felt inadequate. And you know, the truth is, they were inadequate. From a human perspective, it was almost ridiculous. But there was another factor. Jesus had promised them that they would not be obliged to fulfill that commitment alone. That God would pour out his Spirit upon them and bless them and give them strength and wisdom and guidance and direction. And that in the Father's presence they would have an advocate speaking on their behalf. And that so equipped, they would be able to begin the task. And that the Lord would provide what they required to see their part in that task fulfilled. And we read of the day of Pentecost, when there was a visible demonstration that the Lord was keeping his word, that the Spirit was being poured out on his people, that they were being supplied with what they needed to fulfill the commission that had been given to them. And you know, that is our hope too. We look around ourselves sometimes and we say, well, you know, God has great expectations of his people. How Will we ever begin even to fulfill those? And what does God say to us? I'll supply. I'll provide what you require for your task in the kingdom. Oh, it's not just a matter of sitting back and saying, pour it on, Lord. But the Lord is there to enable, to encourage, to strengthen, to guide, to shape, to form. And the work can be undertaken. For you see, it wasn't any single person's responsibility to fulfill the whole of the Great Commission. It was the calling of God's people. And each of his people has some role to play in that. It may be a very inconspicuous part, or it may be a more visible one. But no matter which, if it's accomplished, it's to be accomplished by the power of God, not just by our human strength or our human wisdom. And so there is the equipping power of God's Spirit. So as we do our Pentecost checkup as to whether or not we're alive and well, it begins, of course, with the reaffirmation of our commitment to the Lord. And it continues as we then trust the Lord to provide and ask him to supply and request that he will give us the wisdom to see his leading and to recognize it. And that in the moment, he will provide what is required for us to fulfill that particular part of the calling of God's people that the Lord desires from us. I think that whenever we do this little exercise in considering our being alive and well, we, in honesty, recognize we have growing yet to do. But growing that is not just dependent upon us. Because by the grace of God, we have been pardoned and healed and renewed and made alive in Christ. And by the provision of His Spirit, God has supplied what we need. So I commend you to think about being alive and well in Christ's church, that there may be spiritual evidence that we are alive as we profess his name and declare our allegiance to him in an unembarrassed way and include the way of grace in our understanding of life. And then, as day by day, we demonstrate and attest that the Lord is with us and we trust him. You see, that becomes in itself a powerful testimony to God's grace. So, yes, we remember that on a certain day, in a certain place, in an upper room in Jerusalem, God poured out his Spirit on his people. But that outpouring of God's Spirit was not a one-time thing, only. Dramatic as that particular occasion may have been, it's the ongoing way in which God blesses, guides, and leads his people. we're privileged, that we have not been left as orphans, as Jesus put it to his disciples, but that God is with us, that God is near. In fact, in the person of his Holy Spirit, he is actually within us. So we rejoice, and so we praise his name. And this little Pentecost exercise doesn't have to just be reserved for Pentecost, you know. It's the ongoing check of our vitality in Christ, that we may be assured of God's enabling grace and live humbly to demonstrate his equipping power. This is good news, not just to be treasured, but to be taken with you, to be lived out, to be shared in the world. But it is good news. Thanks be to God. Amen.